Let me invite you tonight over to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 reads this way. It says, "Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your church. And then, Lord, being reminded that when two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence this evening. We ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to fill us and to guide us, that we might hear from you, Lord, and that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, bless your word and bless your people, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is The Gift of the Grace of God. The Gift of the Grace of God. And so three questions tonight concerning our text, and that's going to be, what is the gift of the grace of God? Secondly, what is the timing of the gift of the grace of God? And then thirdly, what is the purpose of the gift of the grace of God? So let's consider the first part, and that is, what is the gift of the grace of God? Well, if you'll notice verse 7, it says it is a gift that works by God's effectual power. Look at verse 7 with me, if you will. And it says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God." Listen to this. "Given to me by the effectual working of his power." So that is an effective work that God says, "I have given unto you," that it's going to have an effect on your life. It's going to change you. Question, did the grace of God with the power of God change the life of Paul? Did it change his direction? Absolutely. So let me ask you this question. So Paul is preaching this to all believers who's living at that particular time, at Ephesus particularly, but it was also to be circulated through all the churches and also all the way down through the ages. Does God want the gift of the grace of God to also have an effect in your life and mine? Absolutely, he does. And then secondly, when we consider what is this gift of the grace of God, we'll notice that it is a gift that is given really to all saints, even to the least of saints. Look at verse 8. He says this, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints." And Paul was not just saying that to sound humble. He was saying that because that was his true viewpoint of himself. He said, "I persecuted the church. I mean, God took me from the dregs of disobedience." I mean, he was ultimately in opposition to God, and God chose him. And so that's why he says, "I'm the least." I mean, I wasn't even honoring the Lord. I used everything according to my understanding and not for God's glory. And God chose me to proclaim this, who really, he said to himself, "If it wasn't for God, I would have never done this. I am truly the least of all saints." And so he says, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." You know what that means? You can search them out, you're going to discover some things, but you're never going to get to the end of the wonderful truths in the grace of God. They're unsearchable in the sense of never ending. And in verse 9, it is a gift of God that is given to all saints to make all men see. So verse 9, he says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus." And so he's saying, I want you to know something. This is given to us. It's given to you and to me, that God would change our lives and to be the witnesses of this great grace that God has given to us. And so we thank the Lord to make them see what? How dedicated we are, to make them see how committed we are, or to make them see the grace of God, amen, that changes our lives. Not our commitment, but God's grace and God's power. So that's the first thought. What is this gift of God? It's a gift that's given to us with effectual power. It's a gift that's given to all the saints, and it's a gift that's given to all the saints to make men see what the power of God does in the life of the believer. So here's the second question. What is the timing of the gift of the grace of God? What is the timing of that? Well, verse 10 says this, "To the intent that," when? No. Oh, not yesterday, not tomorrow, not in the future,
but now, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So the timing is right now. God says, I want you to know these things now. I want you to experience these things now. And sometimes if we're not careful, we say, well, you know I'm going to be made like Jesus when I see him. Oh no, listen, he says right now you can begin to enjoy. God is wanting to transform our lives into his image, does he not? And so here's the thing that we get confused, and Peter did too, and I refer to him often, and that is that it's behooving upon ourselves to make the change. No, that's not the truth. It is God who makes the change in our lives. That's what sets us free. And that's what makes us different. As long as we hold the opinion or the idea that we have to do it, mark it down, it will never happen. Not maybe, it will never happen, because we're robbing God of his grace. We're saying, Lord, I can do this. No, we can't. Is the grace of God manifested by our strength, or is the grace of God manifested by God's power in our lives? You see the difference? And so God wants us to get this. Listen, as you study the scriptures and as you keep this thought in mind, you'll find that it's all about what God wants to do in your life and mine. And that takes the heavy burden and the heavy load off of our back. And it causes us to lift up the easy burden, the easy load of the Lord. And that's because he's going to perform everything that he's promised to you and I as believers in Christ. And so we want to know that the timing of the gift is right now. And to the intent, really, that now we can experience the eternal purpose in Christ, and we can have boldness and confidence by the faith of him, right? We don't have this boldness because of our commitment, because of our determination, and because of our dedication, but because of him. So notice with me, if you would, verse 11, and here's what it says, again, remember the timing of the grace of God is now, and then he says, to the intent that now, verse 10, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed where? In Christ. It's not in us. It's in Christ. It's never in the child of God. It's never in the saint of God. It's in God. That's what caused us to adore the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what causes us to say, wow, Lord, you are truly amazing. I would have never been able in a million years to do this, but you can do this in my life. And so he says this is God's purpose. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of who? Why did you ask the Lord to save you the day you got saved? Because you knew he was the only one. You knew he was righteous. And did he save you? Did he say, okay, now listen, you wait a minute here and let me just see if you really mean this. He didn't say that. He knew it. And so likewise also, as a child of his, we have been given all these things to have possession of now. There's only one thing that will overthrow the potential of walking in the promises of God, and that is simply unbelief in what God has given and promised to you and I as his children. So again, verse 12, he says, to whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Lord, you're the one. Lord, I thank you for bringing me into this relationship and giving me this inheritance that I can enjoy even today and forever. And it just gets better and better and better as time goes on. So what is the timing of the gift of the grace of God? It's now, to the intent that now we can enjoy these things. And then also to the intent that now, in spite of our situation or circumstances, we can still enjoy these things, right? So God says, I want you to know I have this eternal purpose in Christ to give you boldness and confidence by the faith of him now to walk in this, right? And then he says, I want you to know that in spite of your situation or circumstance, I want you to enjoy these things now. Amen? That now. So you can enjoy. And by the way, when do you think, I mean, it's needed all the time, but when do you think you need it most? When you're down on the downside or when you're on top side? Both is right, right? But I mean, if you ever needed it, it would truly be when you're down, right? And so God wants us to understand that in spite of ourselves or our circumstance or our situation, let me ask you this. When did Paul need the grace of God? When everything was going his way or when he was in prison? All the time, but when he was in prison. How about Joseph? When he was by his father's side or when he was sold into slavery? And how about when he was in prison and falsely accused by Potiphar's wife? He needed the grace of God. And so sometimes we think when we're in a low place, the devil would like for us to believe that we can't approach the Lord. But that's not the case, because God says, because of me and my righteousness and my grace given to you, you have access now in spite of the situation, circumstance, or situation that you might find yourself in. So look at verse 13 with me. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations, plural, for you, which is your glory. So he says, right now I'm in tribulation, but I want you to know that right now I'm in a good place with the Lord. Verse 14, for this cause, remember, he's in tribulations, plural, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How in the world, when Paul is in the midst of tribulations, plural, can he bow and praise the name of God? The grace of God. And he's walking in that grace. See, that's the light of the Lord in the life of the believer. That's what the world needs to see, that when things aren't going our way, we can still have possession of his peace. We can still have possession of his joy. And so when we don't, it's not because God doesn't want to give it. It's because we are caught up in the moment instead of in the Lord. We don't want to be caught up in whatever predicament or situation that's going on. We want to be caught up in the Lord. That's what he wants for all of us. And then the world sees that and says, you know, I hear what they're saying, but I see something that's amazing. And so remember the not the disciples, but the people of the village with the woman at the well. When they heard the Lord himself, not just because of what you said, but we've seen him ourselves. They've experienced the Lord for themselves. Now listen, she came back to that village a changed woman. they saw something in her they had never seen. That's why they went out to meet the Lord and to see. And so just like that, her life was transformed by the grace of God to be a witness that moved people to seek the Lord. God wants your life and mine to be changed by his grace and power, that people might be moved. Listen, we don't need, and don't get me wrong, we don't need some kind of an event or a program or some kind of an advertisement or some kind of a thing that we're going to have at church to bring people in. We need to be filled with the grace of God. He'll bring them in. Amen? But he'll bring them in through your life and mine as we're given to him. And that's what the church needs to seek more than anything else. God, I need you I need your witness. I need your grace. I want to walk in it. Lord, you've given it to me to walk in 24 hours a day. Every minute, every second of the day, that's what God has granted. It's not up and down with the Lord. Everything with the Lord is right now. Amen? And for this moment and for the next moment, and if the believer will take hold on that truth and bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, work this in my life, then now our lives are going to be changed. Why? Because God said so. Amen? God says, I'll give you this if you'll believe me, if you'll trust me. Now, we will never seek the Lord if we don't think God can do it. And here's one hindrance, ready? We will never seek the Lord. We will never seek the Lord if we look to our past. Because here's our past, ready? Well, I tried before and it never worked. Well, what's that? Is that faith in God or faith in what you did before? Right? And so how about now, Lord, I'm going to throw away what I did before and now start looking to you. I've never done that before. Oh, I've looked to you for salvation by grace through faith, but I look to my service to you all on my own, all in myself, all in what I could do. And obviously, I can't do a whole lot, Lord. But see, you've promised to do it for me and through me for your honor and glory. And that's when he does that, we step back and we say, wow, what a God. He is amazing. And so he says, I want you to know that that right now, in spite of our situation or circumstance, God can do this. This is what Paul is saying. For this cause, I bow my knees, verse 14, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going through these trials. He's going through these tribulations. And he's praising God. And then notice this, verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He says, I want you to know you are part of the family of God. You know what Paul was also saying? I want you to know something too. I'm part of the family of God. Amen? And even though I'm going through these things, God never forsakes us. And even now in my tribulations, God has given me a grace that is enabled to praise him. Even in a difficult situation, I can praise the Lord. And that was a witness. Don't you know? They knew what Paul was going through. And they would be able to look at him and say, man, he's right. He's right. What am I complaining about? You ever get yourself caught up in complaining about things and woe is me and nobody knows the trouble I've seen, right? And all that kind of craziness. And God says, oh, listen, in me, you've got so much more if you'll just call on me and look to me. All right, last thought. Ready? What is the purpose of the gift of the grace of God? Well, verse 16 and 17 tells us that it's concerning what he has granted or given to us as believers. So look at verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. The riches of whose glory? Isn't that amazing? To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's the indwelling Holy Spirit in our lives. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. The love of God. Now listen. You can learn academics, but if the Spirit is not involved in your academia, then the glory of God is going to be missing. You can have a bunch of head knowledge, but if the Spirit of Christ is not moving and working in your life, it's not going to be of benefit. All of the Word of God is intended to be co-enjoined with the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. So he's saying, listen, when you hear these things, you have to say, yes, the Spirit would say, that's for you. That's for me. That is to take place right now, today, for the glory of God and for our blessing, that we can have a song in our hearts, a skip in our step, amen, and praise to our God. So the next thought, what God wants us to comprehend. This is the purpose of the gift of the grace of God. Verse 18. That ye may be able, listen to this, to comprehend with some of the saints? No. Most of the saints? No. Oh, all of the saints. Are we all of the saints? Amen. Are you all of the saints? Right. Can't leave yourself out. All right. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is, listen to this, what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. I think that covers every dimension, don't you? He wants us to comprehend that with all saints. Amen. If we are living defeated lives, we're not comprehending it all. See, God doesn't want us to be a double agent. Mm-hmm. An agent for him and an agent for the lost man. That we might show one thing in front of other believers and live a defeated life outside of church. That's not what he wants. And the only way that changes is if you personally bring it to the Lord. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. That's why we pray. Lord, today I need you. Lord, listen, and don't answer this question, but have you? Do you have a set time and a set place to meet with God every day? And if you do, are you doing that every day? It's important that you have that time, that you meet with the Lord, and that you call upon him. Now, this isn't, and if you have a setback or if you have a failure, that's part of it. But that doesn't mean that God's word is not true because we failed. And the moment we failed, mark it down, we stopped relying on the Spirit and started looking to ourselves. We lost our focus on God and began to look to ourselves and what's going on. We forget to see that God, listen, is God in every situation in your life? Does God truly work out all things together for good to them that love him? Amen. So that means in every situation. Now, listen, every situation, and I want you to know, I'm going to give you a confession. I don't always see God in every situation. I'm going to tell on myself, okay? I'm going to tell on myself. Man, oh man. I've been saving this, you know, those mouth guards. that you, you know, put in your teeth. I kind of have a habit of kind of clenching my teeth when I sleep. And so I set this one aside. And I used the last one until my wife says, "You got to throw that one away." I say, "Okay, I'm throwing it away." And I only had it for a week or two. And I had it on the side of my bed in the little, like on top of the little container that it goes in. We got a little poodle. I only had this thing for like a week or two. And I look on the carpet. I was just sweeping up some of the dirt that was on there and on the floor. And I looked at the carpet. And I said, "What is this? It's all like looked like jelly." But then I felt it was hard rubber. And all of a sudden I thought, "Oh!" And our dog doesn't bite on things. I was put out with my dog. My dog made me lose my joy because I didn't see God working on my patience. I saw my dog that just ruined my mouth guard. And so that just happened today. But the fault was not the Lord's, and it wasn't a lack of His grace. The fault was my attention. I took my eyes off the Lord and began to look at those boisterous waves on the floor. And do you know what? I began to sink and got put out with my dog. So I put her outside until I felt better. But that's not what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord wants us to keep our eyes on Him. That even in the little things, those little things are important. That we don't, listen, if you can't take care of the little things, you won't be able to handle the big things. So we need to consider our ways in the little things. Do I have the joy of the Lord in everything? Does God want us to have the joy of the Lord in everything? All right, so God says, that He wants us to comprehend His blessings all the time. So look at verse 18 again, and we're going to finish up. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. At that moment, I was not filled with all the fullness of God. But the fault was not the Lord's, the fault was mine for getting my eyes off the Lord. So you know what? I apologized to the Lord, I repented to the Lord, and I patted the dog on the head. That's "I'm sorry" for in dog language. Anyway, all right. Verse 20, ready? And this is the last thought, what God wants us to know. Now unto Him that is able to do, listen to this. Now unto Him, that's God, that is able to do exceedingly, you know that word exceedingly, right? Over the top, right? Overflowing. Abundantly, above, my goodness, these are good adjectives describing this whole idea here of what this love of God is all about and what God's able to do, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He can do it. According to the power that worketh where? Oh, you got power in you? You got power in you? I got power in me. We do. We do have that power. We do have that power. God has given to that. Okay? He's given us that. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Even this one. World without end. And that's what He says. Amen. That's a praise the Lord. That amen. Truly, truly. Amen? That's the truth. Now God says, believe it and call upon me to fulfill it in your life. You can't just do it. You have to call upon the Lord and be conscientious. It has to be, listen, it is a conscientious effort in this regard that we have to conscientiously remember that we are ambassadors for God, that He is the one that has enabled us to walk in this life in a way that honors and glorifies Him and causes the world to want to come and see and say, we would see Jesus. I want to know more about your Jesus because I can see what He's doing in your life. That's the kind of testimony God wants us to have. That's the kind of testimony God intended the church to have. So tonight, this gift of the grace of God was given to every believer, including us, even tonight. Amen? World without end, throughout all the ages. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for your mercy and your goodness and your grace to us. Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every one of us that are here tonight and those that are unable to be here tonight, that you would build Northwood Baptist Church for your honor and glory, that you would do a work in our hearts and minds, that you would create a hunger and a thirst in our hearts to call upon you, Lord, and to expect great things because we serve a great God and you are faithful and true and full of grace, Lord, to perform everything that you've promised to do in our lives. May we never forget that. And may we, with a fresh look at you, Lord, and at your word, begin to call upon you to fulfill all of your promises in our own personal lives, Lord, with faith, knowing that you will do these things that you've promised, that the world might see the light of God in us. Bless again, Lord, your word and your people tonight as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.